Hello!
Internet.
We've got a special guest on Jukebox Jury.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. If you read it, au revoir. We have a special guest. If you don't, who's this new judge that we've never heard of before? I'm Ewan Spence, and it's another round of Jukebox Jury. We have the familiar,
Ben Morris.
And we have the new,
Richard Taylor.
So who shall we go to first to discuss? We'll go with Ben, because then people at home can feel nice and comfortable, or if they're on the bus and running and stuff. Ben, of course, the man behind page two in every Doctor Who magazine, the man who's been picked up and was told, you can't draw that because you can't, and also the man behind the mini pops.
Hello. I'm actually not page two anymore. I'm stuck somewhere in the middle. Nobody sees me anymore.
Oh.
No. Never mind.
But we see you at Eurovision.
You do. You will do. Yeah.
But we'll see you. Well, we might see you, but the mini pops, really, I mean, we do this every year. It's just like every year they seem to be getting more and more recognition, more and more use, and people are just going, where's this year's mini pop?
Richard's waving Richard's something.
I've got them on the back of my phone case.
Yeah, it's really nice. I was down at the London preview party last week, and each of the singers gets a print afterwards, and the reaction from them seems to be really nice, which is great. I still don't know where. I don't know. It's not leading anywhere. It's just a bit of fun every year, really.
You just don't know it.
I hope so.
You got on the BBC Three microphone.
I did. Yes.
You did. You had your mini pop fondled just underneath by Scott. Scott Mills.
Yes.
By Scott Mills.
He's so memorable. You forgot his surname.
Oh, I got to say, my kids loved Strictly Come Dancing this year, and oh, I was so conflicted. But there we go. It's okay, Scott. Mel's not going to show you up this year. No. Right then, but maybe we'll, you know, here's the worrying thing, Ben. We have a new judge and he might show up everybody.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
We don't know. We have a man.
We've also got a glamorous assistant in the corner. We've not mentioned the glamorous assistant.
That's in case we need a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Can we just leave glamour in the corner? We don't do glamour, Ben. You've done this before.
Stop trying
to pick it up in front of Richard.
She's waving at him.
Indeed, yes. Richard Taylor, it joins us from Europe.
Hello there, how are you?
A long-time listener, first-time judge.
Yes.
I believe the phrase goes in radio land.
Yes, and it's very honoured to be asked.
Indeed, yes. We always like to bring people in, but also people who have just a little bit of radio experience as well. And you're the idiot who kept Glenn awake for 24 hours on his Oystermouth Radio's W12P
yes.
Live. Can I manage 24 hours and still sound Welsh at the end of it thing?
Yes, that was an experience, let's just say.
How much money did that raise for
that
the charity?
That raised just under £1,800.
Excellent work. Yeah. What a great hourly rate that is. If only we could all have that. So yes, we're here at Jukebox Jury, and of course it's keeping it all loose and easy and simple. Five songs looking to enter this year's Eurovision Song Contest. We are going to discuss them, we are going to dissect them, or in some cases we might even put them out of their misery. And at the end of that we shall decide hit, miss, or maybe on those songs, and you can disagree violently with us in the comments back at escinsight.com. We will have the Netherlands, we will have Italy, we will have Macedonia, we will have Ireland, but we shall open up with Slovenia. Here for you is the combined wonderful group name that go by the name of Maria. It's a brave man who comes back once you've just won the Eurovision Song Contest. This song returns last year's winning composer, Charlie Mason, back to the Eurovision Song Contest, going for the double with Slovenia this year. It's an interesting one, isn't it, Ben? Because it's Slovenia has always been, you think of them in the last couple of years, and it's always been very tall, willowy, statuesque power ballad. And this is not power ballad.
That's true, it's not. No, that was a fun fact. I didn't know you, and I've got a fun fact for you as well. You probably know this already, but the singer and the keyboard player are married. Did you know that? I didn't know that until a few weeks ago. I looked it up.
So he's nodding at me in the corner. Yeah.
So basically, we don't need them to fall out on stage.
Hopefully not, no.
Good, right now. Look, to me and my ears, this sounds really modern. It's, you know, but it also has that violin there that give it that sort of twee variety thing that some countries seem to think they need to add to Eurovision. I'm torn on this one. It sounds accessible, it sounds modern, it sounds like the sort of thing that I would expect to see in the charts, but at the same time, it doesn't quite click for me.
Well, it was one of my favourites to begin with, but it's gradually only slightly started dropping down the list, because obviously it's...
Is that because you've been hearing more songs?
Yes, it's because I've heard more songs since, so...
It's not that you've heard...
It's not I don't like it, but it's still modern, it's still... And it's nice, it's one of those ones that actually will be one of the few we'll be able to move to in the arena, which will be the bonus.
But again, there's not much to grab onto in this song, and for me, it's not memorable enough. There's no hooks. I mean, if we look at some of the other songs that have been sticking in my head this year, they're the ones that have got lines that can remember. And, you know, when you're down, down, down. I'm old enough to remember when down, down, down was a lyric from Status Quo that everybody understood. And I just can't... I struggle to remember this song.
I actually think it's really catchy. I would disagree with you there. But I'm the same as Richard in that it was one of my favourites to begin with. But when all the gaps were filled over the months, you know, when we were waiting for new songs to come out, I kind of forgot about it. And I do think it will do well. I think it will get through from the semi-final.
It does have the energy, normally, yeah, the energy this year.
Yeah. I did worry whether it might be a bit too static. But you've got the woman who's wearing the leotard with the invisible violin, presumably she will add the visual interest. I did worry about that. When you watch the national final performance, it's very still, and it's a very energetic song. They've got three places to fill, so maybe they'll have a few dancers, I don't know.
And also depends, and this is where I go back to, you say the camera work can add a huge amount of movement and energy into that. And also, I'm going to be very interested to see what the EBU do about these headphones, because you're not allowed to do product placement on stage, but she's got her headphones with her branding on them. And I'm like, well, if the Salvation Army can't have their badge, how come she gets her headphones?
She'll get
a very good point.
Two stickers either side.
And those stickers will be supplied from the Eurovision Mini Pops website.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
or
have my picture of them on it.
Or it'll be the Slovenian heart of the ESC logo.
Yes.
Yeah, they might get away with that as well. It'd be interesting to see what actually goes on here. But for me, this is a song that should have potential. And I can see it competitively having potential. But for me, it's not clicking for me. So I give that one a maybe on that one. Ben?
I will give it a hit.
Ooh.
Yeah. It is very modern. I mean, I'm an old fogey now, but I would imagine the young people like Richard will be dancing to it in the Euro Club.
Richard, will you be dancing to the hit, or will you be giving the dance floor a miss?
I am going to give it a hit, because I think it's one of the best Slovenian entries for years, probably since 2001 when she sang
Yes, that one. I like that
one
too.
And I think it could be their best ranking one since.
Yeah, I agree.
I would probably agree with that as well, but at the same time, I think that there's more promise in this song than it's actually going to deliver. I think if they get 7th or 8th, they're going to be, oh, that was great, but for me, it's just like, well, there's something here that could have done more, a bit more drafting. Oh, it's just one of those songs that has me on the sort of knife edge of decision. Right, we shall move on. And I can already hear various people going, right, that's it, I don't like you anymore, you don't like my song. But there you go, leave the comments back in the website. Let's move over to Ireland, who, of course, who wants to do the classic Irish phrase then?
You odious little man. Is that the one you're thinking of?
Actually, no, I wasn't thinking of that one, but it will do. Thank you very much. Because, Richard, it's either you or me, and if we investigate this anymore, one of us will definitely be it. So let's just leave it. Yeah. Like, you know, quite frankly, Schrodinger's statement. Ireland is playing with numbers from Molly Starling.
I played the victim. Well, that was the last time I pierced you, and I made the mist in your vision, and I seen it to be played. To give a little love was all I wanted. Give a little love was all my intent. And I was playing with the numbers, and I didn't know what it meant.
The phrase I was actually looking for from Ireland was, we've won this contest 7 times, we're the best people at Eurovision ever. At which point I will always go, yeah, but how many times have you won it since the public got to vote?
None.
Ireland, to me, is a country that still hasn't worked out what to do with modern Eurovision. And by modern Eurovision, I mean anything after 1997. They got really lucky in the 90s. They had a nice run as Eurovision was dying, essentially. The East European came along, rejuvenated the contest, and Ireland kept on doing what it has always done. And playing with numbers is continuing to do what Ireland has always done at Eurovision. It's packing up the country in a... Well, if it was Scotland, it would be a shortbread tin. So in Ireland, I guess it would be in a pint of Guinness. It's covered by a shamrock that's got a little leprechaun is carrying it onto the stage like it's an episode of Spinal Tap. And it's just like, you look at some of the great music that comes out of Ireland. You know, you have bands like The Stripes, you have solo singers like Camille O'Sullivan, two diametrically opposite bits of music, for those of you who are interested, the youngest rock and roll band in the world that are going to go on to great things is The Stripes, and Camille O'Sullivan is probably one of the best chanteuse singers that you've ever heard in Ireland and most of the UK, and probably most of France as well, apart from Marianne Desard, but she's never going to do Eurovision anyway, so let's not go there. Instead, we get Twee. Instead, we get the sort of thing that's a montage of an Irish soap opera as it just goes through as somebody's in their final episode. And, you know, the song that was in second place didn't in the national final wasn't much better, but at least it embraced the tweeness. Playing with numbers is. There's just...
dreary.
Dreary.
Is that the word you're looking for?
Dreary. I'm not quite sure what word I'm looking for, Ben, to be honest, but dreary is one tired, formulaic, dare I say lazy?
It's sweet, but there's not a lot more I could say about it. I think it's going to get lost in the semi-final.
I mean, it's second in the semi-final too. I think it's coming up with Latvia, Lithuania just before. I think it's Lithuania, actually. And it's...
I remember watching the national hearing the national final songs before watching the final, and this song actually I completely forgot about it. I skipped over it when I was listening to them. I thought there were better songs. My favourite was terribly performed on the night, the Nikki Kavanagh song. She just ruined it. She screeched and she was out of tune. But the one that came second, I thought, was the one they should have sent. It was very... That was very Twee, as you say, and it could have been sent in 1970 by Dana. But
when Charlie McGettigan would still be the author and still be experienced beyond his years.
But actually, I thought it was really quite well written, and she performed it really well, and I thought it would have actually stood out at Eurovision, whereas this one, as Richard says... I think it will get completely lost. It's an album track you might hear on the Jules Holland show, or she might be stuck in a pub somewhere doing a gig.
Yes, like but if Tori Amos wanted to do a feature spot in somebody's album, it's like, I've got this one.
It's not Eurovision. It's disappointing.
Careful with the phrase, it's not Eurovision, especially this year.
It's not the Eurovision, as the Irish would say. But they seem to be very positive about it. When you hear people like Linda Martin talk about it, they're very positive about it.
Linda Martin, the only person to take a Johnny Logan song to Eurovision and lose. Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Terminal 3.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
She doesn't like to be reminded of that okay. one. Neither does Johnny
she came
Logan.
Second, though. She came second.
Yeah, that means she
bad.
Lost.
It's not bad, though.
Every
it's
other Johnny Logan that song lost. That's got to Eurovision has won.
I think they'd be very happy with second these days, wouldn't don't you?
I think they would, yes.
I'm like everybody else. I did prefer the runner-up in the national final. Was it called Shoulder to Cry On?
Mm. No, anyone got a shoulder?
Yeah, that's
it's just there. There's a pronoun shortage.
Mm.
And that would have had a better presence in Vienna. I don't think Playing With Numbers is going to have a big enough presence on stage. I think last year's entry was a lot better than this year's, and that had a
really
massive
that's setting
presence.
The bar really low there, Richard.
Sorry, I'm just saying as I think.
Well, yeah, no, that's fine. That's why you're here.
It sticks in your mind more, I think. Yeah. This one is completely forgettable. She's got a great voice, I think, and I'm sure she'll have a great future ahead of her. She's very young, isn't
she's
she?
16.
She's only 16. Yeah. And that's amazing. She looks much more mature and sounds much more mature.
I just wonder how they're going to present it on stage. Will it just be her and a piano?
I think it probably
and
will.
And will the piano have a shamrock on it and yes. some Celtic yeah. knots and little glowing orange lights and possibly two dancers in the background doing a slow waltz and some brands kicking off as well? I mean, you can see it now. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, this is not 1995.
No, I don't think it's got a hope in hell's chance, no. to be honest.
Do we need to do Hit Miss or Maybe Here, or can we just say not. Put Out of Its Misery?
Yeah, Put It Out of Its Misery.
Put it out of its misery, yeah.
A miss.
Miss across the board. Right, let's move on to Macedonia, which this year chose incredibly early in the run. With the return of Scopefest, they took the chance to take the winning song from there and rework it to the Eurovision Song Contest. Autumn Leaves is the rework song for Daniel Kanjomoski, who is a co-composer along with Alexander Mitievsky and Joachim Persson. Every moment will hurt from the last to the first time.
Well, I actually get this one mixed up with, and I'm going to say Macedonia. This is Macedonia, isn't it?
Yes, you're getting this one mixed up with United Kingdom.
No, Montenegro. Although he looks less like Ina Sharpless, doesn't he, this one?
Now you're really showing your age. Richard's away to Wikipedia, that one.
No, I know who Ina Sharpless
is. Oh, good man. Yeah, good man. It's an interesting song because it's a slow burn and... For me, the problem I have is that it's trying to be both a Balkan ballad in the classic sense, but also appeal to the X Factor audience that supported Daniel through his reality TV career.
Oh, I didn't know that. You've got more knowledge than I have about this. I saw the... because it was picked very early. Was it December?
Yeah.
I saw it way back and completely forgot about it. It was in its national language at the time, wasn't it? And it didn't... have any effect on me at all. I think it's better now it's in English. I do think it works quite nicely in English, but it's still plodding, although a little less plodding than Ireland.
It's just for me it's trying. I mean, the bit that gets me is when it tries to go up to that really big Balkan ballad moment, that bit where you know Jelko's just about to sort of look down the lens and go smolder, you know, and he's talking as that as well. Oh, yeah, because this is a grudge match. I forgot that. We'll come to the grudge match. Oh, Richard's knowing. He knows it's a grudge match. No, you don't. No, he's just going to talk about the song. Right, okay. See, what happened is, Daniel, you know, when you've got X Factor, you have your champion and the person that sort of supports you.
Yeah.
Daniel's supporter was Jelko Joksimovic. And they've had a bit of a falling out with the management. So, so basically, this is Daniel's, fine, I'll do it on my own. And Jelko's went, okay, you do it on your own. Hey, Knez, I've got this great song. Do you want to sing it for Montenegro this year?
Oh, you heard it here first.
Yeah, grudge is going on. Yeah. And here's the thing. Knez has done Balkan ballad. It's clearly Balkan ballad. It can follow all the sort of tropes, and it feels right. Daniel's song is half Balkan ballad, half trying to be modern, which means when it comes up to those big crescendo bits where you would get schmolder, it just goes, now do modern.
It fizzles out a bit.
And it just fizzles a bit. It just doesn't sort of mesh to me.
It takes too long to the bit where it picks up, so yeah. I think they've left it too late.
Yes, it's a really quite nice verse, isn't there? It's quite a sweet beginning, and you think it's really building up to something, and then it
just sort of drops.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer, Richard? A song that builds up and doesn't deliver, or a song that just sort of sits along and bounces along in second or third gear?
Like Ireland.
I wasn't going to go there. I was going there, but I wasn't going to say it.
I'd like a song that builds up, but builds up to something, and not just plod along like Ireland.
Like Ireland, there. So what do we think of this one, then?
I'm thinking it's qualified, definitely.
Ooh.
I do think it'll be qualified, because I think it's one of their best ones for a few years, because they haven't had the best qualification rate either, have they?
And he's got a good voice.
Yeah.
He's got a very nice voice. All depends how it's staged, of course.
A lot of it does come down to that. I'm looking at the running order. It's got Estonia running before it. It's got Serbia running after it. And then Hungary as well. So there's a shot there.
With Estonia and Hungary either side, it's a possible...
It's Serbia directly. Goes Serbia, then Hungary. We need to have a variance in the running order. Right then, Macedonia. Richard, hit, miss, or maybe?
Maybe.
It's a maybe. Okay.
And it's maybe for me too.
And I'm actually going to disappoint them and say it's a miss. I just think that it's... give me the reason, because Rich is now looking over me going, whoa. First of all, I think people are still going to be talking about Estonia coming out of that semi-final.
That's true.
When they do that one. I think that even if they're not, you know, the song is going to be overwritten in short-term memory by Serbia. For whatever reason, and there are many reasons that you're going to listen and watch the Serbian song and go, I'm going to remember that. So it requires it to be incredibly memorable and hooky, and it's not. It's a slow burn. You've got to lose just 6 songs out of that semi-final. I think Macedonia is one of them.
I think there are a lot worse songs in the contest, personally, but I can see where you're going from, but I do think it could qualify.
Yeah, I think it could possibly qualify, but if it does, it will be right at the bottom. I think
it'll be borderline qualification.
Yeah.
Right then, we shall move on. We have 2 countries left. Your comments are always welcome. I think we might have quite a few in the short one already, so leave them back at ESCinsight.com. You'll also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Ben, we'll be asking you in a moment, once you finish your drink, where we can find out more about the mini pots. So carry on with the drink. I can't even take any cues. Richard can take cues. He's ready to tell us about Eurovoix.
Yeah, you can find it at www.eurovoix.com,
which is spelled V-O-I-X.
Yep.
Like La Voix, and
exactly,
the first woman to do a dancing shoulder and stage at Eurovision, and the last woman to do a dancing shoulder and stage at Eurovision. Thanks, Germany. Ben, the mini pops can be found
www.minipopicons.com.
Lovely. And of course, you have all the Eurovision ones there, and there's a portfolio of the other places where you've dropped the mini pops in as well.
Yes, I did them for Let's Dance for Comet Relief a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Nice. See, it is going somewhere. Don't put yourself down. Yay.
Thanks,
right then. That's okay. Checks in the post. Right then. Italy is up next. A country that, let's face it, if you want to read Eurovision carefully, are currently the standing champions, thanks to their victory at Junior Eurovision with
Gran Zamore.
That is exactly where we're going, because the winning song from Malta was "Tu Primo Grande Amore," a small grand lover, and now they are sending to the adult contest "Grande Amore." There and Grande Amore. I love this song. I'm not sure it can win. I would like it to win, but if there's a song from the album that I'm going to carry on playing after Eurovision, and the one that if I stumble over it in 5 years' time in a random shuffle, I'm going to stop and go, I can still remember all the words. It's this one. What it's going to do at Eurovision, I have no idea, because I could easily argue that it's going to crash and burn, Or I could easily argue that it's just going to sort of like be there and pick up some jury points and move on. Or it could just grab the attention of everybody watching at home and going, yeah, it's Italy. That's what they do. And storm it up the table into the top three. Honestly, I would like to see it go top three from a personal point of view. But for the good of the contest, I think we need another winner.
I think it has winner written all over it, actually, or top three.
It has top three. Emotionally, I think it has winner.
But I do think it has winner written all over. Otherwise, it, you know, it's amongst Australia and Sweden. But it's quite a strong presence. It's a power ballad and it builds. You know, it's not one of these ones that just plod along. And it's one of the better ballads we've got this year.
And we have to remember, it won Sanremo. And yes, that's not easy. They can't see you shake your head.
Oh, sorry. No, it's not easy.
I don't see what the fuss is about, to be honest. I mean, this sort of song has been tried before at least three times. There was Bonaparte LV in 2007, Croatia a couple of years ago, France in 2011, and none of them really registered with the voters.
But let's be fair. All of those, I think you could argue, extenuating circumstances. France basically blew the 3 minutes live on stage.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 3 minutes live. If you get it wrong, you get it wrong. Doesn't matter how good the preparation was. Bonaparte was just so cheesy. And the other one we had there was Croatia, who were lost in their semi-final.
I mean, but isn't this cheesy? I mean, I find it quite cheesy. What I find a bit annoying about them is there's this sort of boys to men trying to outdo each other with their waving their arms about. And I just think I've heard this sort of stuff hundreds of times before. And I really can't see why it's... Is it a favourite with the bookies at the moment? Or it's very nearly at the top.
It's top three.
It's top three in the bookies. It's sort of leading that second pack. Yeah. I mean, for me, one of the advantages is that we have heard the song before. So people watching at home for the first time will feel comfortable with this style of song. It's, you know, for the more conditioned people, it'd be the three tenors. For a lot of people, it'd be, hey, it's the cornetto advert at Eurovision. But the advantage they have, Il Divo as well, yes. The advantage they have is, you know, in the two boys and brains from Thunderbirds, that they have a really marketable group of singers who I think are going to PR themselves really, really well over the sort of week running up to it. So when you have comfort and when you have memorability, that's when you can start to score really well at Eurovision. Now, you get that through promotion, but you also get that through having a comfortable song. Australia this year is straight out of the Bruno Mars playbook. You know, it's like, I know this. You know, Sweden is straight out of the David Guetta's Greatest Hits album, so everybody's going to feel insanely comfortable with that song. And I think Italy as well. It's Il Divo, it's three tenors, it's so on. So I actually think that it's a really easy song to vote for because, let's face it, it's Italy, it sounds Italian, everyone's going to go, of course that's the Italian song.
It just has a strong presence, and if I was watching it for the first time, it grabbed me straight away. And yes, it was completely Italian, so I'd know it'd be Italian straight away. And I think, yeah, for a first time viewer, it'd be grabbed.
For me, it's a hit. Because it has a lot of factors that are doing it. It does depend very strongly on the night. And much like the United Kingdom, I don't think we're actually going to know the answer to is this what the public is looking for until about halfway through the voting on the Saturday night. But for me, personally, it's a hit and it can do very well. It's certainly top 10. So
I'm not convinced. Actually, from personal reasons, I'll give it a miss, but I think a maybe for on the night. I do like his red specs, though. The one who looks like the Thunderbirds guy.
It's a hit for me.
It's a hit there as well. Now, it gets close and tense here because Slovenia and Italy are tying at the moment. There's one to go. but, you know, we have one track to go, and if it manages, we might get into a difficult situation for the second time in this year at Jukebox Jury. So let us finish off with that wonderful ode to Newcastle from the Netherlands. What? It is, isn't it? It's the YIII song. It's YIII from the Netherlands. Better known, for those of you who are using Nature Notes, Walk Along from Trinche Ostars. missing from this is Antandor Deck singing it, surely, isn't it?
Yes, and I have a real big issue with this song because it's so repetitive. So as a fan, I'm thinking I don't really want to be listening to the same thing over and over and over again. The thing I have a problem with is, for the first time viewer, that is probably what's going to be remembered because it's instantly rememberable and it could really do really well.
I'm not so sure. I think that this song is just missing that certain bit of magic that a really strong Eurovision entry has to do. But let's be honest, I've had a bit of a blind spot for the entries from the Netherlands for the last 2 or 3 years on this one and not been very good at stating them. But I'm still going to say what I think, and it's there's just something missing about this one. We joke about the YIII, but to me, when you have so much repetitiveness in a chorus, it's like, could you not think of something else? Was there not another phrase? You know, you've only got 3 minutes, it's not long, use every word, and you're just sort of, you know what, I'm going to try and make this like a McDonald's cheeseburger. I'm just going to manufacture something that bludgeons its way into your brain, and all I want you to do is, when you get to the recap and it does the YIIs, you just remember it, and you pick up the phone, and, you know, it then goes out of your head. To me, it's too clinical. It's just manipulative to me. And the song itself is a by the numbers, let's do some music, let's try and manufacture some energy. I just don't believe in the song.
When it was announced that Treintje was going to represent the Netherlands, I had a look on YouTube to see what she'd done in the past because I wasn't familiar with her name, although she's a big star as far as I'm aware in the Netherlands, and she sings a lot of Burt Bacharach stuff, and there's an amazing concert on YouTube. I think it's an hour and a half, the full concert of her singing Bacharach songs, and she is incredible, and there's not one dud note in the whole of the performance. It is just amazing, and I would recommend checking it out because it is really good. However, I do wonder whether she's a little out of her comfort zone with this. I think she would have been better singing a quirky ballad. I was surprised that Anouk gave her this song, really. It is very repetitive. I agree with Richard. About halfway through the song, really, it doesn't go anywhere further. It just repeats, repeats, repeats and repeats, and then it ends. But I think it starts off really nicely as a really lovely verse. I wish there'd actually been... We heard more of that verse, really. We got a lot of the chorus again and again and again, and then it stops. So that is slightly disappointing, but I want to be favourable. I want to give positive notes to this song because I like her so much. I think she is a fantastic singer. I just wish she'd stop pointing. She points a lot in her live performance of this. She accentuates every word with a point upwards or a point at the audience, and that's a bit annoying. I wish she would just control her hands a bit.
I had actually completely forgotten Anouk had written it, to be fair. So in that respect, I'm slightly disappointed with the song after Bert from 2 years ago, Malmo, because that was a really good song.
I think people were probably expecting more of the same, weren't there? Something really quite unusual, a bit strange, maybe.
Strange and
dark and engaged.
Dark, theatrical as such.
Yeah. And I think Treintje would have been good at that. I really do.
Instead, we've got this sort of, let's try and be the toppers.
Yeah.
You know, and let's be fair, the toppers are really good live. You know, there's a really great full gig they did with Engelbert Humperdinck. They're all really wonderful, but neither of them translated well to the Eurovision stage. And it is just, Eurovision's a speciality. And there are some artists that take to it insanely well. And there are some artists, even if they're all up and, you know, great performers and are on top of their game, and I suppose we have to go back to...
I would say she was as well, top of the game.
Yeah, but if we go back to Sonju, which we've already mentioned before, it just didn't click on the Eurovision stage, and the unique pressures that the song contest place on people just doesn't click with someone. And I think you're right. I think Treintje's issue will be that she's just not quite clicked into Eurovision with this song. Getting it right, presenting it, working it for that 3 minutes on the stage...
I really want to give this a hit because I love her. I really do. I'm a big fan of her now, and I've got that Bacharach album, and I do play it again and again.
So are you going to talk yourself into making it a hit, or are you going to talk yourself out of it?
I could possibly talk myself into it because when I first heard it, I did really like it. The fact that it was very repetitive didn't really hit me until I listened to it a few times. So I'm wondering whether the person who watches this for the first time on the semi-final night... won't really be too worried about the fact that it goes again and again and again and again, the chorus, but maybe it annoys us because we've heard it for 6 months now.
So, hit?
I'm going to say it's a hit.
Okay. I think it's a dangerous hit.
A dangerous hit?
Because of the first time viewing and grabbing the viewer.
For me, I'm a maybe. But again, it's that blind spot of the Netherlands. But you know what? I have to stand here and I have to rate and talk about every single song every single year. And I don't mind putting my opinions out there knowing that there's every chance that it could be utterly, utterly, utterly wrong. You know, my opinions are the calm. You guys can be the storm.
But you've never been wrong before, surely.
I've always been wrong. You know what? I've always been right. I've always made it entertaining. opinions are that are 10 a penny. But for me, it is just a maybe. I do think the song is missing something. I think there are elements there, and I think that they're going to really work on the presentation this one. And the Netherlands are, you know, the Netherlands are far better at presentation than some of the other broadcasters we can mention, United Kingdom and Ireland. And it could do very well, but I don't personally see it emotionally. So for me, it's a maybe, which makes the maths really, really awkward because we have three songs that are. Each having two hits and a maybe. This jukebox jury is pretty much on the fence. Isn't it lucky we've got 100? Everybody's going to think we rigged it now because we've got a third person in here and Andrew Main gets to be the tiebreaker. I'm not very happy with that. Andrew.
Hi, guys.
Okay, right then. Which of these three songs is going to finish lowest on the table?
Think carefully, Andrew.
Actually, yes, no. We're actually tweaking very slightly.
What's your question?
The question is actually sit back down again because I thought of a better idea. Because this is where we would normally go. Which of these songs do we think can win Eurovision? Because normally when we have one song, we go, can it win Eurovision at the end of Jukebox Jury? We have three. So let's very briefly go down the three that we have and go, which of these do we think can win the Eurovision Song Contest? The choices are the Netherlands. Actually, let's number them. Slovenia is going to be number one. Italy is going to be number two. And the Netherlands is going to be number three. So on the count of the letter D, just so we don't get confused, people say I influence things, hold up the number of fingers of the song that you think can win Eurovision out of these three. Ooh, and that's that? Slovenia is number one.
Right, okay.
Italy is number two. And Netherlands is number three. So decide which one you think can win the Eurovision. Okay, out of those three. Okay, and if it's none of them, decide which one's going to be highest up the table. Okay, so don't be smart. And then we will all hold up our fingers at the same time and see what we have. On the count of D, A, B, C, D. We have one for Slovenia, two for Italy. We will spare the blushes of Ben choosing Slovenia and declare Italy as this week's winner of a jukebox jury. Richard, you reckon he could win Eurovision?
Yes, or top three minimum.
Why?
I just think it's one of those strong performances. It's going to have a strong presence. That's about it.
Yeah, for me, it's obviously right up there with Sweden and Australia. And if I'm 100% honest, I still think Sweden are going to take this contest and we're going to go to Stockholm next year. But there's also part of me that thinks, you know, Sweden and Australia could very easily sort of negate each other because they're both modern, they're both chart-friendly, you would both expect to see them in the latest Now album. And that might just be enough to weaken the vote, to let Italy go through the middle on the older juror members and the granny vote, and all the mums at home and everybody going, So for me, Italy is actually got a good chance of winning. Ben doesn't think so.
I don't, but I do think that one we haven't considered could slip in there because, as you say, there could be a divided vote. We might see something like the United Kingdom. I've got my fingers crossed here. And Ewan's raising his glasses at me. No, I don't really believe the United Kingdom will be there at the top. But we could see an unusual one slip in there like we did in 2011.
Indeed, yes, and that's That's what you get when you have a random drawing. You know, you get a song that could win and you have to play it early. Tough. Right then, that was your jukebox jury for today. Thank you all very much for listening. Comments is always a welcome back on the website. Thank you to Ben Morris and Mr. Mini Pops himself.
You're very welcome. Goodbye.
Thank you also to Richard, your first time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh,
I'm very happy.
You happy with that?
Yes, thank you.
I'll have to make it more painful for you next time. I'm Ewan Spence, and it only remains for Richard to see us out of the show with
the guitars.
A big build-up, and you crash me, and then you just kind of like, there's no enthusiasm, there's no energy at all in there. I mean that's it. How many years have you been waiting to do that? And you just, you crash the DJ, you're just like, I can't be bothered. It's just like, oh, it's the guitars. It's just, really?
Sorry.
Really? Do you want to try again?
Yeah, why not?
You want to try again?
Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't you say the ukulele instead?
Get out! Just get out! Get out! Andrew, get up here. I've got a job for you. Come on, Andrew. Come on. You could have used Richard's microphone rather than climbing over half the studio. There you go. Back to Richard's microphone. It's time for...
the guitars!
Like that!